Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, my name's Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, post-apocalyptic wasteland, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1960s to today. Check us out at reallyawfulmovies.com, part of the Crypt TV family.
In the 17th century, Satan was abroad on the earth, and great was the wrath against those monstrous beings thirsty for human blood, to whom tradition has given the name of vampires. No appeal for pity or mercy availed. Brothers did not hesitate to accuse brothers, and fathers accused sons in the frantic attempt to purify the earth of that horrible race of blood-devouring assassins.
You're very kind, Andre, but today everything seems so hopeless. Oh, I wish I had your faith, your strength.
You mustn't give in to despair. I know. It's hard for you. But even here in this garden, the sun will reach into the darkest corners and chase away the shadows of the night.
Andre, help me. I beg you to help me.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's a special episode of the Really Awful Movies Podcast, 7DB, a chat with Andre Dumas, creator of the Horror Digest from Boston, Mass., and we're talking about Black Sunday. Instead of my dinner with Andre, we're having my podcast with Andre. Yeah, I guess I'd like to know right off the bat how you got into horror, because we were perusing your site, the Horror Digest, and we found, I guess, considerable overlap between your tastes and ours.
So for most of my life, I was pretty scared of horror. I was definitely afraid of everything as a child. So most of my life I grew up kind of like both intrigued by and also terrified of horror movies. I was always hiding behind my hands watching everything, but there was also that kind of just needing to peek out kind of feeling. And so really by the time I got to college, I had only seen probably a handful of horror movies, I'd say. And then in college, kind of as a surprise to nobody, I think I developed an anxiety disorder. Just very like sick all the time and physically nauseous all the time. And one night in my dorm room, I was watching TV and Hellraiser 2 came on, which normally you wouldn't think would be very calming when you're feeling very sick all the time. But it actually has the opposite effect on me, and it kind of made me feel better. I think because it was kind of a more controlled kind of fear I could control, and it kind of balanced out what I was feeling, and I don't know, it was weird. So just after that, I kind of just embraced horror full on, and after I graduated college, I started a horror digest. I used Bravo's 100 Scariest Movie Moments kind of as a jumping off point. So a lot of what I first did was just trying to watch all of those movies on that list, and then I did go into other parts of horror and just kind of kept going from there.
It's funny, when you describe your genesis as a horror lover, I mean, you pretty much, it mirrors my young life almost to a T. When you were watching Hellraiser 2 for the first time, did you identify with Christy Cotton?
I don't know, I think it was more just like I'm not like this now, but like the gore, I think, mm-hmm. is really kind of like what calmed me down. And like, I'm not like a gore person at all. But there's just something about that movie that just, like, I don't know, just, like, really, like, calmed me down for some reason. And, yeah, but...
So after Hellraiser, what other films would you say were formative films in your development as a horror fan?
Well, the first horror movie I probably ever really saw was when I was 5, I think, and I saw Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which they played all the time on the television. Not sure what channel that was on, but I just... seemed to always be on, and that scares the crap out of me, and I don't know if that started kind of a clown scare, but it's and I would just remember having these like nightmares where I would come down the stairs in my house and like I'd see my mom's like back. It's such a horror movie cliche, but like, just her back was like in the chair, and I like went. I was like, "Hey, mom!" And she turned around, and it was like one of those scary clowns. And then my whole family had turned into one of the clowns. And, oh, it was bad. But yeah, I love that movie now because just the what it means to me, and it's just so bad and so funny. It's always going to be one of my favorites.
It's
oh no, the fate of the poor dog. That's how you know you're in for a badass movie, because you know when you kill off a pet, it's pretty frightening.
Oh, I know, yeah. I just remember seeing it, and I'm like, oh, well, Jaws, another one. What was a terrible, terrible dog death, of course. Also one that's scarred me for life. I grew up on Cape Cod, so very resort town, and I would never go in the ocean because of Jaws. Whenever I tell people that, they think it's so crazy. They're like, how can you do that? You're going to the beach. It's really hot all the time. I don't care. I pulled my water bottle on me, and fine. But that movie, I only saw it the whole way through for the first time, like, a few years ago with, like, a glass of, like, gin next to me. And when I was little, I would only watch it, like, underneath this giant Afghan quilt, like, in the dead of summer. Just couldn't handle it. So, yeah, those are probably my two ones that really solidified my experiences.
Ostensibly, it's fairly goofy, and you can almost say it's like a kids' horror movie, but yes, I mean, there are a lot of people that are afraid of clowns, and so they, I guess, capitalize on that, but it's so endlessly creative and inventive, and I mean, that theme song is unbelievably amazing, and it's such a great film. And Jaws, yeah, it's pretty much perfect, as far as you could say, you know, but then living there in Cape Cod next to those very same waters.
Yeah, this summer was like more and more great white sharks keep showing up here in the summer, which is no surprise to me. I'm saying that this for like years, finally it's happening. Like I told you, like, don't go in that water, man. But no, listen, so, yeah.
And then the sequel comes, and it says, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water again, here he comes again. So,
yep.
You're never safe.
Exactly.
And what did your friends make of this? I guess your newfound interest as a when you're doing your undergrad.
Yeah, it was weird because I definitely didn't really have any friends that were interested in horror, which was kind of sad, I guess. But then again, I kind of prefer to watch horror movies by myself, anyways, because I'm usually pretty scared during it, so I don't like to like embarrass myself too much. But I don't know. I think I had a hard time. Once they found out what I was all about, and I was really into kind of the imagery and the way that horror movies can be beautiful in their own way. Like once they figured that out, they're like, oh yeah, like that's totally you.
Well, let's talk about that, because one of the things you wrote, I guess I'm paraphrasing right now, but it kind of struck me, is that some of the most beautiful images you've ever seen has been in horror movies.
Probably my favorite horror movie, and the best example of this, I think, is Suspiria.
Of course.
It's useless to try and explain it to you. You wouldn't understand. It all seems so absurd.
And that was a movie that I saw pretty early on when I first started kind of watching horror movies. And I was just so amazed at how red that blood is and just the way that the different accents in the set and all the colors just really kind of like, I don't know, just amazed me at like how like much beauty could be in something so scary.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't know if it has to do with like how I feel about horror, like it's so scary, but finding this kind of moment of beauty makes it easier for me to swallow or something. But yeah, I've always found just such beauty in almost all of Argento's films, maybe not his more recent ones. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of exploring that like Italian horror kind of genre and drama, and just kept going. And I just think there's nothing kind of more beautiful than thoughtfully drawn out blood. it has to be like, it needs blood and gore for me has to serve a purpose. I don't respond well to movies where people are just getting hacked up, and that's kind of it. Like they're just kind of like tossing blood places. But if that blood has a reason for being there, and it's thought about, and the surroundings have to do with the blood and the color and everything like that. Like, that makes me excited.
Yeah, Suspiria is an absolutely singular film. It's funny, I vacillate between, you know, whether or not The Bride of Frankenstein or Suspiria is my favorite horror film of all time. And then at the same time, it's like, well, okay, whichever one is my favorite horror film of all time at that moment is my favorite film of all time. Suspiria is incredible. I mean, how you go from moments of sheer absolute beauty, and I mean, the compositions that Argento created are just unbelievable. Every frame is almost like a painting. And then at the same time, you have these you know, sheer terror. I mean, let's not mince words. I mean, that movie, you know, makes you shit your pants. But it's a gorgeous film. And what's very interesting about Suspiria, in my opinion, is that it's less of a horror film than it's more of a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back
and
if you go back to, you know, the original fairy tales before they got neutered for
Disney, or
well, not just for Disney, but for, you know, like, I'm talking about, like, you know, the original Grimm brothers. I mean, mm-hmm. they were quite horrific.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful.
Totally,
it's,
he definitely meant it, because I think he wanted to have much younger actresses in that movie, which is why you kind of, there's like that weird like sticking out your tongue off between the two girls. It's like a really awkward, they're just like you know, back and forth, and the door handles are like up much higher than they should be, and he definitely mm-hmm. intended for that too, which is just, I mean, everything about that is like, it's, that whole movie is so intentional that it's so fun to just watch it over and over again.
Jessica Harper is absolutely phenomenal in the lead role. And I find this with both her in Suspiria as well as Jennifer Connelly in Phenomena. And as we were talking before, Hellraiser, Chrissy Cotton. These are not your typical final girls, even though they're scared in a lot of, you know, throughout the movie, because they're thrown into these horrific situations. They always seem to be somewhat in control of their faculties, like something, you know, they can somehow take care of themselves. And I think that that's somewhat empowering.
Yeah, they definitely are. They're one of the few, probably, examples of final girls that at no point in the film does really somebody come to their rescue, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
There's not like some guy that's like, oh, do this instead because I'm smart and a man and like that kind of thing. It's true, like they're very, they are survivors.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if anything,
in the best way.
Yeah, if anything, I mean, Kirstie in Hellraiser comes to other people's rescue, which makes her extremely unique in the annals of horror. So we're talking about Italian horror. And we decided that we would discuss one in particular, that being Mario Bava's Black Sunday, a.k.a. The Mask of Satan.
A.k.a. La Mascara del Demonio.
He's half Italian.
You know, I speak Italian like a slow-witted fourth grader, but...
I was going to say, you're half Italian, hence your partially effective Italian accent.
Yeah, I was wondering what your take is on, I guess, the Hammer horror films. Of which this is sort of a similar type. This sort of mm-hmm. jump-started that movement.
Yeah, I'm not a super, I'm a fan, but not like a super expert, I would say, on most of them.
This one inspired that, but I would say it out-hammered the Hammers, because those came later, and, you know, they got someone walking around with a candelabra and diaphanous robes and you know, doe-eyed women going around through, like, you know, castles and shadows everywhere. But this was so much more than that.
Yeah, exactly. I want to take a screenshot of pretty much every scene that's happening in this. It's like one of those movies. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's just, the whole thing is just so beautiful. And I have a hard time kind of taking it all in at some point. Yeah, I love it. I love it a lot.
I mean, the reality is that Mario Bava was an absolute master of when it came to both composition and the camera. Yes, every frame is gorgeous. Everything. There are certain scenes that will stick out a little bit more than others. For example, when you see the coach, right, you know, coming in slow motion. I mean, that is so gorgeous. Or, for example, when, you know, just Barbara Steele. I mean, the eyes of Barbara Steele. How much more beautiful can you get? In fact, that's a really cool band name, I think.
If we were before, the Eyes of Steele?
The Eyes of Barbara Steele.
Oh, okay.
I think if we created a band, it would be the Eyes of Barbara Steele. It's just it's absolutely gorgeous, and it's a perfect template for gothic horror.
Oh yeah.
You start off with having Barbara Steele's character, this of course being the witch Azza, and she's being during the Inquisition, and she's being both condemned and repudiated. I love that word. And when they cover her face with the mask of Satan and nail it down, like right then and there, you get a bit of gore, but it's beautifully rendered. It's absolutely gorgeous.
May God have pity on your soul in this your final hour. Cover her face with the mask of Satan. Nail it down. May the cleansing flames reduce her foul body to ashes, so that the wind will obliterate all trace of her existence.
Yeah, that scene is... Actually, that scene is the one on Bravo's 100, number 40, I think, on the 100 Scariest Movie Moments list. So I watched this one kind of early on in my career. But that mask scene is, I watched it earlier today, and I forgot how big that hammer is.
It's forget a hammer, it's a gigantic mallet.
It's a tree, I think it's a tree trunk, maybe, yeah. Like... It's what it looks like in size, like that, and the way that it just goes on, and the blood just what comes out is so great.
Having nails hammered into that stands up, and I think you reviewed Repulsion on your site. That's a movie from a similar time. This stands up to be just as horrifying as anything put out today, and it's 50 plus years old and black and white.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I think also, that contributes to the beauty is the fact that it is in black and white. He's an incredible master with color if you look at Black Sabbath, but it's funny when certain things are shot in black and white, I can't picture it existing in a world of color. You know what I mean? Like, I can't picture them actually being on set, filming the movie in vivid, everyday Technicolor. As far as I'm concerned, this movie, it wasn't just shot in black and white, it existed in black and white. Like, I can't picture Psycho being in a color world. I can't picture Anthony Perkins showing up on the set of Psycho, wearing, let's say, a blue shirt or a gray shirt or khaki pants. As far as I'm
concerned, khaki pants.
It was black and white. Black and white always, and will always be black and white.
Yeah, I feel the same.
We have this beautiful scene with, the mask going on and the hammering, of course, and then we have the typical, trope of gothic horrors. I mean, we've seen this in, Poe's, Corman's version of Poe's House of Usher, even Todd Browning's Dracula, where you see the coach, the people in the coach heading into a village that's reportedly haunted, where they shouldn't be going. And, the movie has a lot of tropes of gothic horror, but because of the talent behind the camera, because of Bava, it just basically it's elevated to something much more resonating and much more beautiful.
Well, I think it's funny too that the coach driver is just a great character too. It's sort of almost this bumbling kind of guy who's a veteran of the Napoleonic Wars, but he's scared to veer the coach into the forest because of what lurks over there.
He's so scared. And I was thinking while watching, I was like, why are you the coach driver? Get a different job. Wasn't it daylight when that was happening? So it's not like, it's never going to be okay for him. Like, he's going to have to drink all the time to feel better. So I think it's just a bad career path for that guy.
Well, there was some day for night confusion in that scene. They go into the crypt to be night, they come out, it was day. But
there's a lot of bad decision making in that scene in general too, which again, it's necessary for the story, but just watching it again today, I'm like, why did you hit that bat, on top and, smash the cross that you just said was, protecting the village from the evil, and then take some mask off, come on.
Yeah, I don't care.
Don't look under there.
I know, and, if you're a professor or you're a doctor, you have your scholarly curiosity, your academic curiosity, but really, don't want to enter a crypt in an overgrown forest, especially if you see dry ice rolling out on the ground and if it's dusty and covered in cobwebs. Maybe just leave things alone. Just don't go poking around where you shouldn't.
it's very bizarre.
But alas, they did, and they resurrected Azza. And not only Azza, but...
Bad haircut. Creepy boyfriend, yeah.
Yeah, Butich. The names in this film are incredible. We have Aza, Katya, Yabutich, Kuvayan, Constantine, Prince Vida, Yvonne. I mean, just incredible names. Incredible stuff.
Andre.
Andre, yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, that. Andre Gorbach, yep. And, you know, they even managed to throw in some villagers at the end with torches and pitchforks. So that was appreciated, yes, as well.
I know. Needed that. I love that. Bring the mob in. Just like all coming down to the grip. Great.
But even some of the effects. I mean, when you look at the time, I mean, this was made in 1960. I mean, when you see those, Oz's eyes, Barbara Steele's eyes sort of reemerge in the sockets. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then the old age transformation near the end when she's being, you know, I guess, spoiler alert, being burned. Unbelievable.
It is. And I was like, well, I don't know much about what goes into making special effects burning, but I was like, how did they do that? I mean, I think I can figure it out, but it was pretty awesome to see. My favorite moment is when they do take that mask off and all those little scorpions come out of the eye sockets.
I had the pleasure of meeting Barbara Steele a few years back.
Wow.
And,
what you mean?
I wouldn't say she was mean. I would say she was very proper and a little reserved. I mean, it was at a convention. And unfortunately, you know, I mean, it always saddens me when I see these legends of horror and they're at a convention, you know, and they're just sitting there and no one's going up to them and giving them proper respect they deserve. So I went up to Barbara Steele and she was all by herself. Nobody was really there. And I had a mounted poster of this particular movie, Black Sunday, but with the Italian title, The Mask of Satan. And I just went up to her and I was kind of nervous. I'm like, oh, Miss Steele, I'm such a big fan. I think you're wonderful. I think you're, you know, blah, 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 you know, as we do when we see our heroes. And I gave her the mounted photo. I said, well, you know, could you please sign this for me? And she looked at it and said, oh, but the photo is so beautiful. I don't know if you'd want a room with my signature. And that just blew my mind because I'm like, it's a beautiful photograph, yes, but I mean, holy shit, if you sign it for me, that's going to just make everything. And so it was an interesting experience.
I feel like I think I know of like two incidences specifically where she's just kind of has a bad reputation as like a real person. So that's why I asked if she was mean, because I know in this, I feel in Black Sunday she had a hard time with Baba, and she apparently was afraid of Italians or something.
Isn't that a David Bowie song? I'm afraid of Italians.
Yeah, afraid of Americans. Yeah.
She's only like 21. I think she's only like 21 or something. Mm-hmm. Or, no, that was a character in the movie, but I don't know how old she was when she made this.
Yeah, I read that too. They were somehow going to make her participate in some sort of nude scene or something, and she didn't understand anybody and what they were saying. So yeah, she did not get along with Bob on the set. But nonetheless, I mean, this movie made her in the world of horror. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I haven't seen her in that many other movies. I haven't seen Nightmare Castle, although I hear great things about it.
Mm-hmm. Had you seen Shivers?
Yeah, well, Shivers is the other one that I guess she had a run-in with Cronenberg. He like slapped her or something. But it was part of the scene, because she knew it was like in that scene where he gets slapped. So he wasn't just like slapping it, but
just for the hell of it.
I just remember reading that also. It was a movie where she had quite a reputation, but I mean, she's pretty awesome and nothing beats her like giant when she like her eyes are like wide and she has all the holes in her face from the mask, and just love that.
Well, it's an incredibly iconic moment. That particular image from Black Sunday will live forever. It's absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other images that resonate with you that like that one that you could share with us?
My other favorite moment is when they, I guess the priest is like, oh, this is the only way to like make sure they don't come back. And he like hammers the like left eye socket. And then this like giant, and then this like spray of like eye goop and blood like gets on his hand. It's pretty crazy. I just like, oh, that's. I mean, eye trauma is definitely a sore spot for many people. I'm not super affected by it, but I just think that's really cool. Just how he just really goes for it. And then that end scene where he's about to do the same to Katya, but then he sees her crucifix and realizes that that's actually her and not Osmo. So that, I love that part.
That mad monk, Rasputin kind of guy, he had a bit of a Vincent Price voice to him, didn't he?
Yeah. I was like, what? Where is that guy from? He just seems so different from everyone else. I loved it.
Well, yeah. I mean, we could chalk that up to a bit of the dubbing. You know, but, yeah, it's true. He did kind of seem like he wanted to be off the set of a different movie.
Father! Yes? Look, the Mask of Satan. Like the one I saw over the witch's face. It's just as I had feared. We'll find you buried here.
You know, and when you watch it in the lens of, like, you know, here in 2015, I mean, there's things you could pick apart. There's certain performances that fall a bit flat. Again, I might, I'm not talking about Barbara Steele. I'm talking more about, I think Andre was a little wooden. He was about as wooden as a gigantic hammer that they used to hammer the mask onto Barbara Steele's face. But I don't know whether I'm going to talk something about dubbing or what. At the same time, you overlook that because of what it does give you, and that is, again, the beauty, the wonderful moments of horror, the iconic moments, Barbara Steele's tremendous presence, and this Bava's incredible direction and his eye for composition. His entire body of work is pretty much chock full of just gorgeousness. Black Sabbath, mm-hmm. Planet of the Vampires, you know, Kill Baby Kill.
Blood and Black Lace.
Oh, yeah, Blood and Black Lace. Bay of Blood, which they basically ripped off for Friday the 13th Part 2. You know, the man is unbelievable, and he's up there, you know, of course, there's a holy trinity of Italian horror filmmakers, which is comprised of Dario Argento, Mario Bava, Lucio Fulci. Now, you were saying earlier you're not a big fan of gore for the sake of gore. What are your impressions on Lucio Fulci?
We have a very...
tenuous relationship?
Interesting relationship. I'm not really a fan, and I get into so much trouble because whenever I talk about his movies, I'm just like, I just don't like them. And then I boiled it down to the fact that I think that if you take those three, and based on my own personal taste, where I really favor kind of beauty over blood, I think that Mario Bava is probably the one I'd want to marry. Dario Argento kind of mixes beauty and gore, so it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fulci is just all gore, so I'm just not really into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I have a hard time with his movies, and I think that maybe there was one. What's the one? I think I liked. Don't torture a duckling.
Yeah, that was more. That was more of a giallo. You know, that was before he got into the really heavy duty gore stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
that
was definitely more up my alley. But yeah, House by the Cemetery and Zombies okay. Just for the shark scene.
Zombie versus Shark. I mean, how can you not love that? I mean,
right.
But of course, yeah. I mean, yeah, when you get into like movies like the New York Ripper and stuff, I mean, that's just, it's sleazy and disgusting, and it's sort of hard to defend. I will defend it myself as a bit of a gore hound, but I, you know, that. But that's a great thing about horror, is that there's something for everybody. It is very inclusive.
But where do you think horror is headed, and do you like the direction it's going?
I feel like we're going to start getting back into kind of the more realistic terrorism in our world. Obviously, I think movies about, I don't want to say terrorism per se, but just kind of that, just like chaos and just not being in control of kind of anything
mm-hmm.
In your world, I think that's going to be something that's just going to keep coming up. And unfortunately, I don't think zombies are gone. I think it's still gonna happen. I don't know where that's gonna go. I'll be happy, I guess, as long as horror becomes something more than just what, like, teenage boy, like, I just want people to be able to take a hold of it kind of the way that I did and just realize that it's much more than just a slasher movie. As long as people start realizing that and really embracing it, I'll be happy. So any way it goes, I think we'll be okay. As long as it doesn't go back to Saw and torture porn kind of stuff, I'll be happy.
And has there been any recent horror movies you've seen, let's say in the last year or two, that have resonated with you as much as, let's say, something like a Black Sunday?
Probably the Babadook I'm really as strongly into psychological kind of horror movies, and my favorite things are probably like the more supernatural, but then also when they have they're grounded like just psychological themes as well. So that movie was like everything that I love, mm-hmm. like into like one thing, and I loved it so much, and it scared the crap out of me. I made my sisters watch it on their birthday, and they were really into it. It's just a really, really great, great movie. And then, let's see, because I kind of went on my hiatus on my blog, so I missed a lot of stuff. So I feel dumb lame because I haven't seen a ton of new things. But like that, I loved Only Lovers Left Alive.
Yep. Jim Jarmusch's wonderful vampire, updating on the vampire legend, Only Lovers Left mm-hmm. Alive. Oh, that was incredible.
Yeah, I loved that, and I just Housebound I saw a few weeks ago. I love that.
No.
Yeah, just, I'm getting back up there. I'm gonna need to see more things. But
yeah.
Is there anything that I should see right away that I haven't? Let me know. So.
Well, I mean, just going back to the Babadook, it's interesting because I mean. Probably one of the most divisive horror films of the last 10 years. I mean, for as many people that love it, so many people despise it. I don't see where the hate comes from. We have a blog ourselves, right? And I wrote a review of the Babadook. And a lot of times, like, you know, we could see through the search engine results, like, how did people get onto my review of the Babadook? The Babadook sucks. The Babadook is the worst movie ever made. I don't get it. It's incredible. It's a beautiful return to psychological...
But our films, like... 14-year-old kids who are wanting to see, like, Saw
exactly,
and then being disappointed that they don't understand it. I feel like that's partially what it is.
Possibly, but I think, you know, the Babadook is what horror is all about because it's elevated. It's scary as fuck, but at the same time, mm-hmm. there are so many underlying psychological elements to the Babadook. How you want to interpret it is up to you. My personal interpretation right. is there is no Babadook. It's all the
yeah.
mother. It's all her psyche. And it's all about basically being a single mother and growing up with the fears and anxieties. I'm not going to get into a whole Babadook podcast, but I will say it's unbelievably effective. It's the direction's incredible. The set design of the creature. In fact, there's even, I believe, a scene. I don't know if it's from Black Sunday or Black Sabbath. There's a little moment where they actually flash back when she's watching the TV.
Black Sabbath.
It is Black Sabbath, isn't it? It's that creepy girl on the bed, right?
It's the drop of water.
Yeah.
Segment with the old lady in the bed, like, still haunts my dream, my nightmare.
Haunts many a nightmare, that old lady, for sure. I know you really enjoyed The Last Shift.
I was kind of split because I liked it a lot more in the beginning. I think it kind of went off the rails at the end. Maybe like the middle to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think it went like a little too far. But again, I'm also like I said, a super scaredy cat, so all that stuff, like, and that just really affects me. Like, I need to, like, push the mute button on my computer sometimes because I'm like, I don't want to, like, pee my pants tonight. I mean, yeah, they're jump scares, but it's just, I don't know, it's affecting me. And again, maybe I've been out of the game for too long, so not as watching horror movies anymore, but I don't know, yeah. Cause, I mean, parts of it I thought were really commendable, and then it just kind of went... A little too crazy there at the end.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what? It's like riding a bike, you know? You just have to ride once around the block again, and you're right back into it, you know?
Speaking of losing your bodily functions, if you want to, you know, I can't recommend highly enough an extremely terse, psychological mindfuck of a horror from Austria called Goodnight Mommy.
Mm.
And it's about... Oh. Yeah, twin boys who exact revenge on their abusive mother, and it's absolutely harrowing. So if you're into psychological, I would give that the highest recommendation.
All right, thank you. I definitely
It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you, and if you want to promote your website, it's
I think it's Horror Digest. Well, I don't even know, just search Horror Digest.
Just Google Horror Digest and you'll find a great website.
On the lookout for many more posts from me, so excited.
Fantastic. Well,
thanks for having me.
No, not a problem. It's been a pleasure. And have a great afternoon.
Great. Thanks. You too.
Thanks. Thank you.